Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters tonight here on ESPN 97.5. As always, thank you so much for joining me. By the way, we got a quick update here. This is an alert to start the show. Sources tell me that we are on the air. I love the sources tell me, and I love being the host of the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed. Sources have also told me that tonight my guest on Soccer Matters, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, includes, by the way, DaspitLaw.com, are as follows. And, well, you know what? Before I get to them, let me remind you that the producer of this show, as always, is the irrepressible, the gooner-loving producer Andrew Carlson. AC, like the producers at Gal Media, is actually smarter than the host most of the time. Now, self-deprecation, by the way. Some people tell me I'm self-deprecating. Is that a confidence issue? I don't think it is. I think it's because I just, frankly, don't take myself too seriously. All right, let's get to it. Streaming at ESPN975.com here tonight is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. So very much grateful for that. Also, Advantage BMW in Midtown, Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. You'll hear from Jan Christensen tonight with his Danish Dynamite update. It's a nice heartfelt piece he puts together. FM Kitchen and Bar, Cactus Music, and Burning Topics that you... Well, you saw one come out here today. We put out two burning topics this week, and also Hugh O'Connor's pub where today. Liverpool fans were very, very happy about a 4-1 victory over Everton. Mo Salah getting 2 goals in that, reminding us that he is the most dangerous attacking player, I think, in the world. 8th minute, Jordan Henderson. 18th minute, Mo Salah. 38th minute, Gray for Everton near the stroke of halftime. Made it 2-1. Mo Salah in the 64th. Hota in the 79th, Liverpool outshooting Everton 15-4 against, by the way, their former manager, Rafa Benitez. All right, to the guests tonight, Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Now, you're going to enjoy this interview here. You're going to be able to glean things out of this with Pat. He's very upfront. He's very open. We'll ask him, obviously, about the coaching situation. We'll ask him about some of the other things that are occurring, maybe the under-22 initiative, how important that'll be to the Dynamo roster in the future. But a lot will be about the coach. Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona is going to join me tonight. He's a regular guest on this show. By the way, he's got a special shout-out to Houston Coolis. So be ready for that tonight. He's got a shout-out to Houston Coolis. So I think you're going to like that as well. Dynamo defenders Eric Valentin, and Houston Dash defender Katie Naughton. Now, they are very, very candid and honest in these interviews. And basically, I think you're going to really enjoy this. They're going to get asked some questions that they don't ever get asked, frankly, that only occur on this show. So stick with us on that. Fred Fowler will join us. You remember him from the Blitz, used to be him and AJ prior to this show. Fred, we'll talk about sports betting, which I think is going to make a lot of sense tonight based on the fact that a tweet came out today saying the Dynamo expect to sign the largest sports gambling deal for an MLS club very soon. That tweet came from Joe Favorito, somebody who's in the sports media kind of industry, and he was quoting Ted Siegel in an interview he did, I believe. Ted Zeigel was also quoted as saying, we looked at purchases all over the world and decided on MLS for several reasons, the biggest of which is the national media rights. We think what At Soccer Don has set up was key in our decision to buy the Dynamo and the Dash. So that was from Ted Zeigel. And as we've mentioned on the show, we've talked, all the data that's coming out now in very different categories for Major League Soccer. A lot of this is based on the fact that betting and gambling can increase the fan base. It's another way to get people involved with the sport of soccer, whether you believe in gambling or not. It is going to happen, and already in many ways is happening. Major League Soccer conference finals are set. Philadelphia Union will take on New York City FC. The Union getting past Nashville in penalties. By the way, the Nashville penalties in Philadelphia, a couple of them ballooning into the crowd, most notably one from Walker Zimmerman, who, by the way, was voted Defender of the Year, and then the other one from Alex Buell. By the way, Zimmerman was excellent for the U.S. national team. Got to give him a lot of credit. He's really built himself into a good area, and there's a real competition for the center back position with the U.S. national team. And if you're John Brooks, you're looking in from the outside right now, despite the fact that you're playing in the Bundesliga. So you got Union, New York City FC. New York City FC last night getting past the New England Revolution, hitting all their penalties. They had a 2-1 lead. They simply handed the game back to New England and allowed them to get back in it after Castellanos had put them up 2-1. Well, he does something very emotional in the intensity of the game, very silly tackle. You can call it boneheaded, whatever you want. But Castellanos got sent off. And New England, quite frankly, almost then won the game after really being dominated in this throughout the evening. Western Conference Final, okay, Portland and Real Salt Lake. Many people are talking about Giovanni Savarese as the guy who just knows how to get it done when it comes playoff time. Portland had a lot of ups and downs this year. The organization got some hits on the NWSL side with the Thorns and some things going on there. But here they are against RSL. Now, problem there is Sebastian Blanco. Where is he injury-wise? And then also, what's the status of Dairon Asprilla? At this moment, I'm not 100% sure. I do know that they were trying to get his red card reversed. Real Salt Lake, if they win it, I'm not surprised, quite frankly, under Pablo Mastroeni. So everybody was really critical of them, except themselves and their fan base, after they went in and played in Seattle and were just ultra defensive, did not even have a single shot against the Seattle Sounders, but then go on to win in penalty kicks. Well, if you didn't watch their game in Sporting Kansas City, it's a completely different game than the game in Seattle. And in fact, they set themselves up. They were allowed to play a little bit. They were given some time and space in the ball to move it and play. And then Pablo Mastroeni makes the brilliant stroke of putting in Anderson Julio and Justin Merriman. They change the game, and they end up winning the game 2-1 very, very dramatically in front of a packed, rabid crowd at Sporting Kansas City. So Real Salt Lake, you can't count them out either. You can't count any of these teams out. It's just, this will be pretty tough to predict. I guess the favorites without Castellanos, maybe you give the Philadelphia Union at home the favored role. Portland at home against RSL, but RSL is clearly got a tremendous amount of momentum going into this thing. All right, a couple of other things to talk about here on tonight's show. When I get into the interviews here tonight, we'll talk with Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona. I have made it pretty clear that it's been very interesting to watch Barcelona at this stage here, trying to claw their way out of these financial difficulties. There's a lot of youth that are going to get opportunity that maybe they normally wouldn't have gotten. So I think that's something to really keep an eye on with Barcelona. And frankly, without Messi there, I'm really kind of enjoying what's going on there and the opportunity that others are getting. And so we'll talk Barcelona with Jordi. Dynamo defenders Eric Valentin. So the reason I got him on the show is I ran into him in the grocery store. We were talking about a number of stuff. Me and him could have kept talking forever. Zarek is a very ebullient personality. But I got real with him in this interview tonight. The locker room was great and all that. Yeah, I don't know. Should the locker room be great when you don't win a game in 16? So we get serious with Zarek and Katie Naughton. And I'd like the way both of them handle these interviews, because my intention in these interviews were not to just throw you a flowery orange interview. We get way too much of that stuff and regurgitation of press releases down here. What I wanted them to do, and I thought they were excellent, was to take us in to what it is to be a professional athlete and what it is to go through seasons. Because we just see them run out of the tunnel onto the field most of the time or on social media. But, you know, they have families, they have personal lives. Look, in the case of the Houston Dash, and I say all this respectfully, they haven't made the playoffs. They still haven't made the playoffs. Okay, and again, I'm going to give an example here. And I think James Clarkson has certainly solidified this roster. But if you talk to him, he'd say, hey, he's accountable too for them not getting into the playoffs and losing their final three games. But there's not a single person in Houston, to my knowledge, that is even questioned if the coach comes back after not making the playoffs. And again, I'm a fan of James, but I'm just trying to position kind of where our sport is here in the media. I mean, who knows? If we had more healthy pressure in the media, do you think maybe ownership might have made some moves to try and turn things around 2 or 3 years ago, as opposed to waiting until we finally, you know, have a new owner that's got real ambition in Ted Siegel? So I'm trying to be a little bit more realistic. When somebody tells me, things about specific players, oh, why isn't Darwin Quintero here? Come on, you have to think about that. He was making over $1 million a year. The Dynamo were trying to get youthful. Did you listen to what Pat Onstad said? They want to be an aggressive, proactive team. If you remember before the season, I told you to keep an eye on both Darwin Quintero and Memo Rodriguez, based on the fact now that Tab Ramos was getting more players and they were going to play a pressing style of play. Let's get there. Let's keep talking about the game. Let's keep being excited. But let's also get a little bit of realism into it, because that carries things. And I can tell you, Pat Onstad, the general manager, understands accountability. He understands healthy pressure. He wants that. He's going to hope that develops, and I'm sure he's going to do some things to nurture that. This is going to be an organization, I think, in the future, with the leadership of Ted Siegel and Pat Onstad, that are going to be more transparent, more communicative. And by the way, you got to give Todd Ramos credit for that, because he began kind of the new move towards being more communication oriented, very upfront, very transparent. And I think the ball now will be taken by owner Ted Siegel and Pat Onstad. So that's kind of what we got here. This is a good show tonight. I really want you to really enjoy these interviews. Houston Dynamo defender Zarek Valentin, Houston Dash defender Katie Naughton, Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, from Barcelona, Spain, Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad, and Fred Fowler on sports betting. All right, it's going to be a good one. Going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get it started. You're listening to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And I want to thank our presenting sponsor, as always, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, John and his firm, they're going to take your case. They're going to do it 24/7, nights and weekends. They're going to work for you. Car, boat, motorcycle, you work in a refinery, maybe down in Pasadena. They're going to cover you. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. Support those sponsors that support your game. Take a break. We come back with more.
ESPN 97.5.
The birds fly a lot better than we do. See how they wheel and bank and fly? Perfect.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. It is that time of the year in Major League Soccer where rosters, options are being picked up, declined. There are drafts coming up, whether it's the Super Draft, the Reentry Draft. expansion draft. So it's a very busy time for all involved, including athletes who have to think about what the future may hold for them. This segment here is brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar. FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, Montrose and Westheimer, also north of Washington on Shepherd. Great go-tos there. Burgers, chicken sandwiches, healthy food, and craft cocktails. All right, we bring in Zarek Valentin, defender for the Houston Dynamo. Zarek, thank you so much for coming on.
Glenn, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always good chopping up with you a bit.
Absolutely. All right, so, you know, in the offseason, it can be a tenuous time. You've gone through all this before. Teammates come and go. Just take us a little bit into that and the life of a professional athlete at this time of the year.
Sadly, it's not going anymore, right? We saw some games yesterday. We saw a game yesterday. And we've been watching playoff games, and that's always something that's really, really bittersweet, because when you know the feeling of playing in the playoffs and to get to a final, it's something special, and we don't have that. It just makes you want to go back and earn that even more. And it's tough, because when you get done with the season, for me, mandatory rest. You have to kind of let your body do nothing and let your muscles just chill for the first time in a very long time, because our preseason usually starts mid, early January, and then we go straight through one day off a week usually until November 1st-ish, right? So that's a pretty long season. So I let my body rest, and then suddenly you get to a point where you start to prep for next season. And as a guy who's older, I can't start that process late, because I need to get the train going a little bit, right? It starts off slow and then eventually kind of gets going. But it's a little bit tedious, but now we're starting to work out again. You know, I ran into Tim at the gym yesterday with Paul Caffrey, which was great to see him as well. So it's one of these things where guys are starting to get back into town slowly, because there's a want to get better. We left on a tough note last year. So there's a lot of optimism, but also a lot of just, I would say, you know, foot to the ground, you know, want to get things going as soon as possible.
Former coach Tab Ramos was a big fan of yours. I know that through my discussions and interviews with him. How tough was that he left, and you guys as players, I mean, how accountable do you feel for that?
We feel massively accountable, because we're the ones playing the game. Same with the departure of Matt Jordan. You know, Matt brings in players, and ultimately Matt and Tab believe in us. And they believe in the guys that they put on the pitch. And when we don't get it done and we make mistakes, other people might lose their job because of that. And that happens at times. And it did happen for us this year. And that was really difficult for guys like myself and some of the older guys who, you know, are a little bit more in tune. And part of that process was informing some of the younger guys just how monumental these decisions are. Because, you know, when you look at someone like a Danny Rios or Juan Castilla, you know, these guys are still in high school. And ultimately, you know, Matt and Tab and these guys, they have families, and how these decisions affect the entire group. And now that I have a child, I understand even more so if you have to move, if you stay. So it's difficult. And to be someone who played a good chunk of games representing the club and representing Tab and Matt, and them really putting their, you know, their stamp on me, I definitely felt, you know, a level of accountability. And I think that's good, though. You know, we ran into each other yesterday at Trader Joe's, and we talked about accountability. And that's something that's good. From the ownership to the players, we need to feel accountable for our mistakes, and we need to be held accountable. We have to have tough conversations, and we need to look each other in the eye and understand that it hasn't been good enough. But we have made changes with people who understand MLS. You know, Pat knows the league very well. He's been on championship teams as a front office person and as a player, so he understands that. And, you know, we've talked about accountability. That's something that's going to be a huge underlying, I would say, foundational point going forward, to just hold the Dynamo organization from top to bottom accountable and to get better, because the fans deserve that.
Do you feel that was waning last year, the level of accountability?
I think it had to up a little bit, right? You know, I think that when you go through tough spells where results don't come, there's a reason that happens. Sometimes it's players, sometimes it's coaches, sometimes it's I would just say the general culture that's being built. And something I spoke about with Pat and we talked about yesterday was, if a player shows up late to training consistently, even if it's 1 or 2 minutes or to meals, you know, on the road, how am I supposed to trust that the player is going to be there and have my back on the pitch if they take these little moments for granted? And to some people, they might not be a big deal because they think they can separate those. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you can separate how you treat your teammates off the field and on the field. I don't think if you're perennially late, you know, to a meeting or to this and that, suddenly I think you're going to track back 110% when the play needs it. I think those things are all directly correlated. And at times, I think we needed to have more tough conversations, and maybe as a veteran leader, that's something I can do. But I think we need to have those uncomfortable conversations, and we need to say it to people's faces, and we need to know that it's not okay, because if you don't put in the effort or if you make mistakes, it affects us. And I'm the first person to put my hand up when I make mistakes, because I think that that's big. And I think we have to accept the accountability and let your teammates know, like, I recognize that I made a mistake, or whether I was scored an own goal or whether I was late to a meeting. And that's not okay, because I value your guys' time and I value all the effort that you guys are putting in as well.
Zarek Valentin joining us here, Houston Dynamo defender, 2,400 minutes this year. That's a lot of minutes, more than the two prior seasons for you, Zarek. I want to take you back to the physical break you mentioned you're taking, but what about the mental break? Because that's, you know, unfortunately I learned that late in life, but it is something that you very much need to have. And I would imagine you need to have it. And you've already said you're back in the gym. How do you get the mental break? And when you get that mental break, are you fully 100% mentally away from the game? Or is there a slight part of it that's still kind of banging on the skull to get in there?
Yeah, I think a lot of the mental break is to kind of get away from your coworkers, and not in a bad way, but, like, you know, the routine of going into work every single day, you know, seeing the same people, going to the same apps, you know, doing these things. I think it's good to completely disconnect from that. Obviously, you'll still see people and teammates, and I'll go golf with some of my buddies every once in a while, but that's completely fine. But I think more so, I would say the day in, day out routine is the type of stuff that you're trying to get the mental break from. And I found that it's been a particularly difficult year. You know, we went through a spell where we were winless through 16, and that's extremely difficult, because it's not for necessarily a lack of trying and effort. You know, the countless conversations I had with Tim and other leaders, you know, at 1, 2, 3 a.m. on the plane rides home, when we don't get a result, when either we drop a result or we didn't play well, or even sometimes we played very well, there's a late goal or whatever might happen. You know, that takes a toll on players mentally, and especially when things aren't going well. And it's one of these things where there's no one right answer. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, if we just played short corners, we'd win every game. No, it's a domino effect. There's a lot of different things that go into that. So part of it is mentally checking out, but I can never do that as a pro, because I understand how fun it is to play postseason, how these games are different. The vibe, there's, you know what I mean? There's, the air is crisper because it's usually winter time. So I understand those things, and I miss that, you know, watching these games. It's good to miss that, though. I don't think players should completely disconnect, because if you don't have this deep down fire to make things better and to be pissed off watching MLS Cup playoffs, knowing that at times you played well against a team or you beat a team, and thinking, man, if we could have just put some results together, you know, to get that feeling back. So I think it's okay, and it's encouraged to some degree to have that bitter taste in your mouth going forward and leading into next year.
Dynamo defender Zarek Valentin joining us, played at Akron, a great college program as well. Years with the Portland Timbers. You remember him there. 2,400 minutes. Again, that's a lot of minutes this year for the Houston Dynamo. Okay, I want to take you back to that streak you mentioned, the 16, because even as a commentator, you're up there hoping, turn the corner, get a result.
Yeah.
Let's get happier. Let's get in a positive frame of mind. And you feel it, you know, I mean, You feel it from the outside, and I'm a less important piece to this whole thing in a very, very big way, but you do feel it as a commentator. And I hear, well, but it's a great locker room. Everybody's getting along. I'm going to call BS on that. There's no way it's a great locker room. Come on. Tell me, when you're not winning 16 games, that everything is perfectly fine in the locker room. And if it is, something's really wrong. I mean, take me into that a little bit, because I want to get into the true aspect of being a professional athlete and what happens in the workplace.
Yeah. I think overall, it's something I believe we have a very positive locker room of really good guys. But obviously, when things don't go well for a multitude of different reasons, then that does press on people. That makes it difficult, right? Tensions do get high. People will end up kicking each other in training to take a little bit of frustration out, because you know, each person cares so much. I always say it's okay to take out frustration in positive ways, because it shows you care. If you don't give a shit, then I don't want to play with you. And that's completely different. So when guys are getting frustrated or yelling at each other, that's okay. And I think there was definitely a good chunk of that during that period, because there was this desire to win. And at times, you know, you could say we gave up a late goal, I think of Salt Lake or something like that, right? And then there's other games where at home where we kept a zero and generated a bunch of chances. And then you could say, oh, we didn't score goals, right? So you can't necessarily say it's the defense or it's the attack. Cause you know, when you defend as a group, you start with the center forward. And when you attack, a lot of times if we play out the back, it starts with the center back. So you do everything collectively as a team. But I definitely think that there was some tension this year because of that. And ultimately, players deal with that in different ways. And it's tough. I mean, when you don't win for that long, it kind of, like, it doesn't – winning's a habit and losing is a habit as well, or getting ties, right? I've been on both ends of that. I think that at times, you know, I think we kicked it I think it was Austin, right? That was the game we finally – it was 3-0. I think it was the game that we finally won at home. And there was games throughout that streak in which we should have won. And there's definitely games in which we lost, in which we didn't deserve to win. So I think we have to look into the mirror there. But I think when it comes back to accountability, first and foremost, you cannot point the finger. Some guys – point the finger when mistakes happen. And that's not okay, because no one's perfect. And you initially have to say, how could I make this better? What could I have done to help my teammates out? Even if you scored a hat trick on the day, I still think there's ways in which you could try to pick up your teammates and keep them going, right? So it's difficult when someone thinks I did my job, because I think that your job could always be even helping your teammates out. Even when you're not starting, you always saw Boniac Garcia going up there, putting his arm around guys, telling him what he sees, working through things. Boney was an incredible pro when he wasn't, and he understood that role. And I think that, again, when players are doing really well, they can't necessarily focus internally. Because let's take Fafa. Fafa was one of our best goal scorers this year, one of our best players, one of our brightest spots. And at times we got to challenge Fafa to you know, take guys under his wing a little bit. You know, we've had conversations where if you're feeling it, that's great, but you need to help other guys get that feeling as well. And that's one thing where I think that we can improve next year, is consistently looking at ourselves and then challenging ourselves to make our teammates around us better, as opposed to just focusing on, I need to cross the ball 10 times and win my 1v1 battle against my winger. That's what I need to do. No, I need to also cover Tim. I need to cover the wingers. I need to talk to the holding mids, you know, organize on set pieces, a lot of different things. And I think that we could definitely, you know, work on helping our teammates out, as opposed to focusing so much inward.
Accountability, blame, this is all human nature. That's why, you know, when I hear, oh, it's all rosy, I know it's not. So I'm going to be very candid here. Any fist fights this year in practice?
No, there was no, there was
back
no.
In my day, there were a lot of them. I don't think we processed things as well, maybe.
I was a part of a few in Portland. There definitely was some there. There were none this year. Definitely. I mean, there's definitely some brouhahas. I mean, it's only natural. Again, I'm okay with it. When players are just playing hard and like it's the right intention, if that makes any sense. If players start getting dirty where they actually start to try to hurt a teammate, that's when it's not okay. That's when you have to stop it. But again, it's you have guys that are competitive that want to win, and ultimately things don't go well. And, you know, you're frustrated. Maybe you get beat on a, you know, 1v1, and then the defender hacks the midfielder down or whatever. And then in the midfielder, you go, you know, you have a 50-50 ball and someone goes in there a little bit harder. You hold a stud in. But I would say, you know, generally that stuff didn't happen. And maybe we needed more of it. Not to say we need to kick each other, but I think, you know, if you play the way you train, and I think we can always train harder, we can always train better. I know if I stink in the week leading up to a game, I usually tend to not play as well. So I have to focus every single day to try to make my sessions good.
Yeah, you can't have all angels. You know, all angels aren't winning MLS Cups. I want to take you
– for example, just to swipe in there. One of the guys who is definitely not an angel is a guy, Sebastian Blanco. He got consistently into, I mean, like very intense altercations, right? And sometimes you need that, especially for a guy that's being in that position that has that kind of role. He's the most competitive guy on the team. He can't lose anything. If you're playing cards, if you're playing whatever, he like takes it uber personally. So it's okay to have guys like that. And I think when a player in that role understands, you know, the way you kind of push buttons a little bit and maybe do it in a pot, like do it in a way that you're looking down at it from like the grand scheme of things, as opposed to like, I want to get under this guy's skin. Maybe that needs to happen at times. Caleb Porter used to do that to me in college. He used to crush me and I used to get so angry and I'd play better because of it. And then he'd wink at me at the end of training and I would just be uber furious, but he did it to get the better out of me. So maybe again, you know, I learned a lot this year. A lot about how to manage people, how to, you know, be there for the younger guys this year. Because when things aren't easy, it's really tough. So I learned a lot, and I think next year, minimally, there's going to be more of, I would just say, understanding and I would say pushing of the right buttons, and it's going to be a lot different every year.
This is why I like interviewing veterans, because you totally embrace these things. And this is where I think the public really understands a little bit more than everything is rosy and perfect. This is a lot of men that are highly competitive men. Okay, you bring up Zarek Sebastian Blanco, who is amongst one of the best in the league. Who would be the Sebastian Blanco on the current Dynamo roster, not including yourself?
Ooh, you mean like just in what sense?
Well, you just described Blanco to me as being, not an angel in practice, uber competitive. Who's that guy on the Houston Dynamo roster right now?
I think one of the most competitive people, I mean, I'm up there in terms of competitiveness. In these 5v5 games, I hate losing. I hate losing more than I enjoy winning.
Yeah, but you can't pick yourself.
No, I know. Tim Parker is extremely competitive. And I think towards the end of the year, the older players on the team started being what we should have done earlier, if that makes any sense, right? We started having tough conversations way too late in the season. And that's something, again, that I learned about myself that I can do, because I'm a very bubbly, rosy guy. But at times, like, we have to have honest, real, genuine conversations. And I expect the same in return. If I can dish it to somebody, I hope people say the same things back to me. And I'm okay with it. And Adam and I always yell at each other. That's fine, though. There's an understanding, because that's work. On the pitch is work. Off the field, we're great friends. But we have this understanding where that's the case. You know, there was one game I remember I lost the ball against, I think it was the Dallas home game we won. I lost the ball around midfield, and he had to track back, and I think they got a corner out of it. And he had a go at me. And it's great, because I look at him and I'm saying, you know what? You're right. Like, this moment I was trying to do something I was trying to play too cute of a ball, as opposed to just kind of keeping it moving after we've been through a spot we didn't have it. And that's great. But we can't do that with like 5 games left in the season. And a lot of the older guys realize that, you know, you can be good people, but at times people need a kick in the butt. And we got to do that. And again, we learned a lot this year. But I would say Tim is definitely one of the uber competitive people. Same with Darwin Serén. Darwin Serén trains and plays so hard. And that's something that I love him for. He's one of these guys that you have on your team that you know is going to give 130%, even in training. He'll run through a brick wall for people. So definitely those two guys are the ones who are the fireballs at times. And Tim, Zarek, pun intended, Mr. Redhead.
Yes. Zarek, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to bring you on one night, and we're going to talk vinyl.
Let's do it.
Because I know you're a vinyl collector like me. And who knows, maybe I've got some doubles that I can give to you. I got a couple of old good albums. I got a couple copies of.
One could only hope.
Yes. All right, Zarek, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thanks for being so candid as well. I think people are going to really enjoy this interview.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you as always, Glenn.
All right, that's Zarek Valentin, Houston Dynamo defender. Again, we remind you that this show, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, is brought to you by the one and only Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You give them a call, 713-322-HURT. They'll handle your case. They're personal injury attorneys. They're big fans of soccer. They get it on the air. It is DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have more.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hi, Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, here with my Danish Dynamite sequence at Soccer Matters. People often ask me, how did you fall in love with this game? Well, it was that first kick of the ball playing with my dad and uncle in Denmark. But most of all, it was that first visit to the big stadium in Copenhagen. I was clasping my dad's hand as a six-year-old walking down the stairs at this gigantic stadium. For me, it was gigantic anyway. It was the noise of the 20,000 people, the passion, the feeling of belonging to this club, FC Copenhagen, which my dad has spoken now about since I was born. Seeing the green turf, seeing the players' hard work and their fantastic skills, and the noise of the ball being kicked. And I simply, without resistance, fell in love with the game. And this love continues after more than 50 years of playing in a league in Denmark, England, and the USA, and a bit of coaching and so on, and of course, engaging with Glenn Davies in many soccer discussions. My love is still the same. Even that I sometimes get angry about all the money and the lack of club spirit among the players. The game, to me, is impossible to fall out of love with. And that's why I want you to come into Danish Inspirations and fall in love with our furniture as much as I love soccer. We have an incredible, great collection of comfortable, functional furniture, and especially our Stressless collection from Norway with the most comfortable chairs in the world, the Stressless chairs. So come on into Danish Inspirations and sit down and enjoy. DanishInspirations.com. We are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite. See you soon.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, nothing better than having Jordy Sunyer on the show. He joins us now as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Jordy, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me again on the show, Glenn.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jordy. Oh, okay. Let's get into, we got to go right to the win over Villarreal, at Villarreal. It's the second win for Xavi Hernandez. Give me some of your takeaway from that game. Obviously, had a dramatic finish.
Yeah, the feeling here is maybe with Ronald Koeman on the bench, this last two La Liga matches, the derby against Espanyol and this game against Villarreal, would have been lost matches. There was a bit of luck maybe for Barcelona because the match was even until the 87th minute. And second goal for Barcelona by Memphis Depay was against what was happening on the pitch. In these last two games, you see things are changing, things are improving, but this is a very, I think this is, and this will be a very slow process because you can change things. You cannot change things from one day to the other. So you see higher speed of the ball, good moves by the players, players understanding a little bit more what Xavi wants from them tactically. And you see this good things happening, but you see them only in some phases of the game, of the match. So if you see the second half against Espanyol, they had many chances. Espanyol had many chances to score and tie the derby. And Villarreal had chances even to win the game. So I think we have to be careful. And of course, there has been this hype and this emotion here at Barcelona with Xavi. And people here tend to exaggerate a little bit things like Xavi signing because he's a legend for Barcelona. But this is a process. Barca was in dire straits, is still in dire straits financially, as we always say. And this will be slow. So there was kind of euphoria even after these two victories, thinking, yeah, we can win at Bayern Munich. We can qualify for the Champions League last 16 because the match in Munich will be played behind closed doors because of COVID regulations in Germany, in the German state of Bavaria. But I think we have to be careful because this will be a slow process. Xavi is doing things well, but I think he's also realizing that it's not that easy. He's coming from Qatar, from another league, another football, another kind of competition. This will not be so easy.
Talking to Jordy Sunyer, TV3, Barcelona would get goals from Frankie de Jong. Memphis Depay, that goal was in the 88th minute after he had missed some real chances earlier in the game and Coutinho getting a stoppage time penalty. 3-1 win away at Villarreal against Unai Emery. But despite that, you have to say a result like that, missing a number of players, is the kind of thing that can help you grow in the future and build the project. And, you know, I want to take you back to how realistic people are. Has there ever been a statement or a line drawn where, you know, they've said that, or Xavi has said that, look, this is a three-year process now from where we are? Because I'm not sure everybody on the outside understands the depths the club are at.
He hasn't spoken about time, how many years does he want to achieve great results or the best results for Barcelona. This is, as I was saying, a process that can last for two seasons, three seasons, maybe. Remember, for example, Frank Rijkaard, who took the team in 2003, also in a very difficult situation, and got his first and only Champions League in 2006. That's 3 years. You can also see the fans, particularly at the Benfica match, the attitude is different. I think they know this. They want results, but they also accept that Xavi is trying to change things, and they accept and they applaud the team playing well, or more than the team playing well, the team trying to play well, showing that they want to play well. Because against Benfica, for example, they had many chances. This was a 0-0 game. They have to wait until next match day for qualification for Champions League last 16. But they created, Barcelona created a lot of chances. They deserved to win the match. Only a goal gave them qualification. And the team was applauded after the game because they played for winning the game. So I think people would not accept at all a transition season, but they will accept, I think, finishing, for example, fourth in La Liga, so qualifying for the next UEFA Champions League, qualifying for the last 16 of the present UEFA Champions League, and getting, of course, a good draw for having hopes of reaching the last eight. And that's okay. They can cope on with that. People only want a team that shows spirit, that shows stamina, that shows the will of fighting against the situation. It's not a thing of immediate results. But anyway, when I speak of good results for this season, I think these are the results I was telling you, fourth in La Liga or third if it's possible, because you see, for example, Real Madrid, Sevilla, Atletico Madrid. I was able to see their games last weekend, and they really seem to play in a different level. They seem to still be better than Barcelona. So, okay, let's accept Barcelona will not win anything this season, but if we sow the seeds for better results, for winning silverware in the seasons to come, perfect. That's the thing. We come from a very difficult situation.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 from Barcelona here. We're talking to Barcelona after their victory over Villarreal. Next up for them will be Real Betis, who's number five in the league, and Barcelona currently at seven. And then Wednesday, December 8th, they will be at Bayern Munich, as Jordi mentioned, behind closed doors. Okay, so we got to get used to new names, as Azzouli, Garcia, Gonzalez, Gavi, names maybe that aren't as familiar to people in the United States. Talk a little bit about some of these new young guys, and will there be a rebirth of La Masia?
There is a rebirth of La Masia because there's
are they
many.
I mean, are they forced to really push now the envelope again of player development and creating their own based on the financial situation?
Of course, they are forced to bring players from La Masia to the first team because of the financial situation. But even if the situation hasn't been good for many years or for the last years in Barcelona, the Masia keeps on working and keeps on functioning and keeps on discovering good players. Barcelona has a network of talent scouts all around the country, all around Catalonia, so they can pick, they can choose the best players playing in smaller teams, in humble teams from everywhere in the country. So there are always good players that can develop in La Masia and reach the B team or the first team. So La Masia has always worked. The flow of talent never stops. But it's true that maybe because of the managers of the idea of football that managers had, Ronald Koeman or Valverde or Quique Setién or whoever, although they were confident in getting the best from La Masia kids in their first weeks or months as FC Barcelona managers, they finally got to the older players to get results. You don't normally go to the younger players. You go to players that can cope with difficult situations like the one in which Barcelona was. So the younger players now, Abdel Zalzouli, it was a signing done this summer in the last day of the summer transfer window, August the 31st, paying the liberation clause to Hercules, which is a fourth-tier team right now in Spain. They played in the first division, but it's now a fourth-tier team. They played €2 million. Winger, I would say a winger of the old school. He's a street player because he's of Moroccan descent. In fact, he was born in Morocco. He came to Spain when he was 2 years old with his family. They went to a very poor neighborhood in Elche. You know, Elche, they have their team in the first division right now in La Liga. And it was difficult for him to get a club to play because nobody wanted him as he was so undisciplined, so inconsistent. He didn't show up for training because he preferred to be with friends and play street football many times, until a coach at Hercules called Portillo, no relation with former Real Madrid player, said, okay, I will catch this player, I will get this player, I will bring him to Hercules and make transform him into a professional football player. He did that, and you see a talented winger, one versus one, extraordinary. He's still young, but he has a very good potential. Nico González, the next Sergio Busquets, without a doubt. Nico is the son of Fran González, former Deportivo player in the 90s, one of the best midfielders that the Spanish game has given. He began as an attacking midfielder, you know, in the position, calling it with numbers, as we normally do in Barcelona, the number six or number eight position. So right midfielder, left midfielder. But he has flourished as a number four, the position in which Sergio Busquets is playing. He's the next Sergio Busquets because he's got everything that Sergio Busquets has. Vision, stamina, intelligence, technique, everything. So one of the most exciting prospects for La Masia in the future. And Gavi, playing in a more advanced position, in left or right midfield. He can play as a false winger also. He's probably the most talented of all this bunch of players coming through the La Masia ranks to the first team. Gavi was an early talent because Barcelona signed him from Betis when he was, I think, 10 or 11 years old. Very, very, very young. He has grown up in Barcelona, in La Masia, and he's been outstanding in all the teams he has played. Maybe lacks a little bit of punch and a little bit of decision making in the last quarter of the pitch. It's normally we compare him to Iniesta, but he still hasn't got this goal power that Iniesta had. You know, Iniesta scored many goals and some important goals, and Gavi still, I think, lacks a little bit of that. But three very, very, very exciting prospects for FC Barcelona in the future.
And before we let you go, Jordi, a quick word here on two players. Very quick, start with Sergiño Dest. I know he's coming back from injury.
It's not an easy situation for Sergiño, but today we have known about Sergio Roberto's injury. He will have to undergo surgery in Finland. because of a serious muscular injury. So this is an opportunity for Serginho to get minutes, to get game time in his right back position. Although Xavi has used Oscar Mingueza, who can play also in the right back position. But these are, unfortunately, it comes from the injury of another player. But these are good news for Serginho. He will have opportunity to regain his place at right back. I think the problem with Serginho is such an attacking player, such an attacking right back, that he has been used as a winger in several FC Barcelona matches this season. You know, Ronald Koeman did that at the beginning of the season. I think it's not a good thing to change a player's position so often. He's still young. I know he comes from Ajax. He has his experience of first team football in the Netherlands, but you have to get used to playing in only one position after being able to deploy in other positions. Let's see what happens in the next few weeks. There's still a big question mark on Serginho, but I hope this will be a good season for him.
Jordi, as always, a wonderful update on Barcelona. I know Houston Koulis will be very, very happy that you were on the show, and I thank you very much. A tremendous update. All the best to you over the holidays, and we will speak soon.
Thank you very much, and greetings to all Houston Koulis here in Houston. Thank you very much, Glenn.
It's the one and only Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona, Spain. Great update there as Barcelona coming off a 3-1 win over Villarreal. They will take on Real Betis now. Barcelona seventh in the table, Betis at number 5, and some interesting things going on at that club as they try to rebuild under Xavi Hernandez. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.